This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Now, on August the 21st, 1991, at approximately 2:17 p.m., an explosion occurred on Coode Island in Melbourne when a 600,000-litre chemical storage tank exploded and caught fire. I remember it quite clearly, and the fire burnt various hazardous chemicals across the western suburbs, including a big toxic black plume of smoke up to 30 kilometres from the site, and it prompted the evacuation of Footscray Primary School, nearby buildings and ships, and closure of roads. And people were advised to stay inside with windows and doors closed to avoid smoke inhalation. The fire and the potential harm it caused resulted in significant psychological stress for those living in the nearby suburbs. And there's been no way to measure the psychological stress caused by such environmental disasters. But that's about to change, with the EPA developing a tool in conjunction with the University of Adelaide. Now, Mark Patrick Taylor is Victoria's Environment Protection Authority Chief Environmental Scientist. Mark, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
It's good to chat with you again. When we think of a pollution event like the one that I just mentioned, we often think of the harm it causes to the physical environment. Why is it also important to measure the psychological distress that it causes?
Well, from the research that we did, and we did a scoping review to look at the tools and impacts on populations impacted by pollution and waste, both natural and natural events, it showed very clearly that the impact on people, the distress was the primary and anxiety, carried on for a long time, long after the event had passed. And the effects on people were really measurable and really serious. So the other related research that has examined this particular question has looked at the PFAS impacted communities around the nation at Katherine and Williamtown in Queensland. And they looked at what the biggest risk was, or the biggest effect, and it was mental health impact and mental health risks of concern and anxiety and distress on those communities that were to live on beyond, way beyond the discovery of the pollution in the environment and any actual measurable chemical harm to the people.
When we look at this, will it add an extra deterrent, I suppose, for companies, you know, not to pollute and to look after the environment if they think, well, we're actually going to cause some harm to people as well?
Well, exactly. And it's going to allow us to say, not only did you pollute the environment, but we rolled out our environmental distress index and we've been able to assess that you've harmed and hurt the people. And here is the evidence. And just as you said in the preamble, we don't really have any formal tools to do that at the moment. We can get informal interviews and comments, but there's no way at this present time we have the capacity or the capability in terms of tools and techniques to assess and measure and quantify pollution and waste impacts on people's mental health and well-being.
I'm wondering also if you could use it to, if we have, say, a natural disaster happen as well, you know, where to prioritise, mental health support.
Exactly. We designed it because we're the, Environment Protection Authority. Our focus is on pollution and waste. But we also respond to flooding events and bushfires. And these are not industrial pollution events, but they do cause pollution from natural events. So, yes, it can be applied in a multitude of scenarios where there's palpable distress or distress likely to have occurred in the community. And we'll get spatially aggregated information. That's a fancy term for meaning we should see greater effects closer to the point source than further away. And that allows us to better direct and target efforts. We can share the data. We intend to share the data with Mental Health Victoria and other supporting agencies, such as the Salvation Army. In general terms, we should focus our efforts here. These communities are harmed and hurt.
Mark, how will the tool work? Let's say there is another major chemical spill. We hope there isn't here in Melbourne. How would it work? How would you roll it out? And what sort of onus would be, what sort of effort would be required on those that are impacted by the disaster?
It's a good question. So that's one part of the research that we're just undertaking at the moment. Initially, we did a trial piece of work at Maribyrnong on looking at the community that had been impacted by flooding. We used social media. That didn't seem to work so well. And we're now looking at, can we use text messaging to get people to fill out that form? And for them to fill out the form, we use what's called the Kessler K10. It's a 10 questionnaire index, which asks about distress. Are you feeling, you know, anxious at this time? Are you feeling down? Those sorts of questions. And we'll top and tail that. So we don't expect it to take any more than a couple of minutes to fill out. But that instrument, the K10, is nationally, it's used by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. So it is national benchmarks. And we'll top and tail it with specific questions related to the event so we can get more pertinent answers in relation to a particular event that can better help us understand the impact and where to focus any future supporting efforts. Does that help answer your question?
Definitely. We're chatting with Mark Patrick Taylor, Victoria's EPA Chief Environmental Scientist, about a new tool that will help capture the psychological effect of a large-scale pollution event. Mark, question for you. Let's hypothetically, a company, a chemical company spills chemicals, it goes down into the Maribyrnong River or what have you, it kills thousands of fish. We see that impact happening. In terms of the EPA's ability to prosecute that company for an environmental spill, will this add an extra layer of ability to do that? If you can say, okay, yes, you did. You put this toxic chemical into the river. You killed the fish, but you also caused a lot of harm to 1,000 residents. Will it give you extra ammunition to prosecute that company?
Yes, hopefully it will give us an extra arm. I mean, in our act, it says human health also includes psychological health, and distress is, fits within the psychological health umbrella. And that's the purpose of doing this research. Of course, it'll have to be tested in court and in VCAT, et cetera, to determine the robustness of it. But this is why we've invested significant money to support the University of Adelaide to undertake this piece of research for us, so that we know that the tool is tested both with end users and the community, and we understand the limitations and the capacity of that tool. We know that around the world there's been increased interest in this space, and all we have to do is look at the media after any major environmental event, and the word distress comes up the whole time from communities who are impacted, all those in Lismore, for example, people in Rochester from the recent flooding, for example. And so we think we will be able to use it to say, not only did you pollute the environment and damage the environment, but the impact of that caused measurable and quantifiable distress on the population. So the simple answer to your question is, yes, that is the aspiration. The proof will be in the pudding, but certainly it'll give us extra tools in our toolkit to tackle industrial polluters to better protect both the environment and human health.
Mark, when do you reckon it will be available?
Well, we're hoping by the end of the year. The project's funded to the end of the year. We're running through, we've got another case study that we intend to roll out, and we haven't quite determined that location, but we're getting close. But we should be in good shape by the end of the year. Fair. And then, the next financial year, we anticipate that, i.e. 1st of July onwards, to at some point be able to roll it out when we have particular events. And that's the aim. That's the target. I think it's a pretty courageous step for the EPA to step into this space to make the most of its legislation, of its act, which, as I say, includes psychological health. And if we can do it, we will be supporting communities who complain that, they feel significant distress. We'll have a tool to capture it and understand it and help respond to it.
I think it's brilliant. Mark, thanks for sharing it with us on Drive. Good to chat with you again.
Thank you. I look forward to talking to you anytime. All the best to your listeners.
Thank you. Mark Patrick Taylor, Victoria's Environmental Protection Authority Chief Environmental Scientist.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.